The Horus Heresy. The Lightning Tower by Dan Abnett. Read by Danny Webb.
What are you afraid of? What are you really afraid of?
There was once a fine palace, and it sat like a crown of light upon the top of the world. This was in the latter days, when mankind left his birth rock for the second time, to chase a destiny denied him in a previous epoch. The artisan masters of the many rival Masonic guilds had raised the palace up, block by gilded block, to be a statement of unity, regal and unequivocal. After a dreary, lightless age of strife, the warring tribes and creeds of terror had been alloyed under one rule, and the palace was intended to symbolize that staggering achievement. All the petty dynasts and ethnarchs, all the clan nations and genseps, all the despots and pan-continental tyrants had been quelled or crushed, overthrown or annexed. Some, the smartest and most prescient, had offered terms and been embraced to the bosom of the new rule. Better fealty than the wrath of the warriors in thunder armor. Better submission than the enmity of the world's new master. It was said that once you had seen him or heard him speak, you were never in doubt again. He was the one, and had always been the one. He had been the emperor long before there was any such office to take. No one knew his birth name because he had always, naturally, been the emperor. Even the artisan masters of the Masonic guilds, famous for their sanctimonious craft wars and vainglorious quarrels, shut up and, in concert, built the palace for him. It was monumental. It was not so much an edifice as a handcrafted landmass. The artisan masters built it upon Terra's greatest mountain range and transformed the monstrous peaks into its bulwarks. It towered above a world laid to waste by centuries of war and perdition. And though that world was being rebuilt with wondrous cities and architectural marvels blooming in the new age of unity, nothing could match its magnificence. For it was beautiful, a euphoric vision of gold and silver. It was said that when they had finished their task, the artisan masters of the Masonic guilds set down their tools and wept. By the time it was complete, it was the largest single man-made structure in known space. Its footing sank deep into the planet's mantle. Its towers probed the airless limits of the atmosphere. It owned the words, "The Palace Holy," without any need for qualification, as if no other palaces existed. He had blemished that glory. He had raised dark curtain walls around the golden halls and cased the soaring towers in skins of armor 10 meters thick. He had stripped away the jeweled facades and the crystallophantine ornamentation, the delicate minarets and the burnished cupolas, and in their places he had implanted uncountable turrets and ordnance emplacements. He had dug mighty earthworks out of the surrounding lowlands and fortified them with 1 million batteries. He had yoked platforms into synchronous orbits to guard from above, their weapon banks armed and trained day and night. He had put his men upon the walls, armored in gold and set for the coming war. His name was Dawn, and he was not proud of his work.